Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 3. Klaivyam asma kamak parata naita dvayupapadyate shudram ridya dhavalam tyaktvotishta parantapa. Klaibhyam, impotence. Masma, do not. Gamaha, take to. Paratha, osanaprita. Na, never. Etat, this. Twayi, unto you. Upapadyate is befitting. Shudram, petty. Ridaya, of the heart. Dhavalam, weakness. Tyaktva, giving up. Utishta, get up. Parantapa, O chastiser of the enemies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Sanaprita, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Purport. Arjuna was addressed as the Sanaprita, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudeva. Therefore, Arjuna had a blood relationship with Krishna, so-called blood relationship. I don't know if Krishna has any blood. If the son of a Kshatriya declines to fight, he is a Kshatriya name only. If the son of a Brahmana acts impiously, he is a Brahmana in name only. Such Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are unworthy sons of their fathers. Therefore, Krishna did not want Arjuna to become an unworthy son of a Kshatriya. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna, and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But in spite of all of these credits, if Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude of Arjuna did not fit his personality. Arjuna might agree that he would give up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the most respectable Bhishma and his relatives. But Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity mere weakness of heart. Such false magnanimity was not approved by any authority. Therefore, such magnanimity or so-called nonviolence should be given up by persons like Arjuna under the direct guidance of Krishna. So the text again, Glaibhyam asmakamak parta naita dvayupapadite shudram ridya dhavalam tyaktvotishta parantapa. O Sanaprita, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Practically speaking, the whole first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita was an argument between Krishna and Arjuna. And Arjuna is citing scripture. And Krishna is not really citing any scripture. He's just telling Arjuna that he doesn't agree with him. And here again, Krishna is telling him to fight, but it's more or less it's an argument. Arjuna says, but how can I kill my relatives? You want me to fight? You want me to kill Bhishma and Drona, my grandfather and my teacher, so would you kill Sandipani Muni? Would you kill Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev? Why are you asking me to do something you wouldn't do? So Arjuna gives all the arguments, And then he breaks down. He has an emotional breakdown. And generally speaking, when people have emotional breakdowns, you hug them or something. You say, "Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Poor boy." Krishna doesn't do that. He starts, well, he waits till Arjuna says, Karpanya dosha upatasa bhava. Shishasti ham sarimam tvam papanam. Now I'm a soul surrendered unto you. So before Krishna actually starts just really telling Arjuna the whole the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, still Arjuna has to break down, and finally he's going to stop arguing with Krishna. And Arjuna says, "I'm a soul surrendering unto you, kindly instruct me." And then the next verse, Arjuna says that, as he says, "Please instruct me," then he says, Arjuna fell silent. Sanjaya said, "Having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of the enemies, told Krishna, 'Arjuna, I shall not fight,' and then fell silent." Sounds like a typical disciple. He says, "I'm surrendered to you, Krishna, kindly instruct me." And then he says, "Doesn't matter what you tell me, I'm not going to fight anyhow." "I've surrendered to you, but I won't follow you. Whatever you tell me is, forget it." And then, of course, Arjuna has to have another emotional breakdown. So Arjuna was practically crying in the middle of the battlefield. Big kshatriya, 19 feet, 3 meters high, crying on the battlefield. Little baby, "Oh, I'm so bad. I feel so bad. I need a break. I'm going home. Mommy, Kunti, help me." So what does Krishna do? Hug Arjuna and say, "Oh, you poor boy. I feel so sorry for you." No, he immediately says, "You rascal, you're a fool." And then Krishna actually starts telling him why he's a fool. Not just "you're a fool," but he says why. And then we can actually understand, those who listen to Bhagavad Gita, why Arjuna was needlessly lamenting. Like everyone else in this material world, most people think that with the end of this body, everything's finished. After all, we think, well, if I leave this body, I'll forget it. And then I'll become a different person. That if I leave this body, then suddenly I'm going to be, when I get another body, I'll be a completely different personality. And I will remember who this last body, so I will remember who I am. With that kind of attitude, then we shouldn't go to sleep at night. Because if we go to sleep at night, we forget this body. And therefore, that means that we've died. But actually, we forget the body, just like we forgot when we go to sleep, we forget this body, but we don't die. And when we wake up, we forget our dream body, but that doesn't mean we've died. So therefore, our existence doesn't depend upon this gross body, or even the subtle body, which is constantly, both of them are constantly changing. So with the understanding that we're eternal, and that with the end of this body, we simply take another body. And that whether we remember this lifetime or not has no relevance to our existence. Because we're not even aware of who we are. That's the problem. And therefore, we take our experience as our identity, our personality as our identity, our experience as our identity. But actually, we're simply experiencing. We don't know who we are. And if we get into another false identification, then we'll forget this one, just like we're always forgetting this one when we go to sleep at night. And we wake up, we forget all our dreams. Can you remember your dream last night? Can you remember your dream last night? You. What's that?
I did actually in the morning.
You remember it. Can you remember it now?
I have to think, but I don't remember.
So, when we were dreaming last night, did you remember you had your present body? Well, can you remember your dream the night before? But when we're dreaming at night, do we remember our present body? Does anyone ever remember their present body when they're asleep at night? Can you remembering your present body? More or less. We don't remember what we were dreaming, but when we're dreaming, we think it's real. It's real, don't we? I mean, sometimes I guess rarely people think, "Well, I'm dreaming." Most of the time, we don't think we're dreaming. We just think that's our existence. And then when we wake up, we think we're this body, this existence. We forget the dream, so we're always forgetting one body after another. The conclusion is that actually we're eternal, but because we're covered by ignorance, we don't know who we are, and therefore we're imagining that we're temporary. That's all we're aware of, is all these temporary bodies. We're not aware of our real self. Yes?
Some time back I had some dream. I mean, actually, not a long time ago. But I was not in this body. I was in another body. And in some another country and with some different people, but faces that I have never met in this place. But if I had any any spiritual dream, then I do remember I was, whatever dream I had, but I do remember sometimes I was in this body.
What's that?
If I ever remember, like if I had any spiritual dream, I was in this body.
But this body is different now.
Yeah.
it's always a different body. Every moment is getting a new body. So even if you think it's the same body, but it's a different body. Anyhow, the material, we have to give Krishna credit. His material energy is quite strong. It's quite powerful. It puts so many living entities into delusion, of which we're one of them. But if we wake up, then there's no more problems. Either in dreaming, either awake or asleep, one is still awake of one's real identity. One transcends the material. So the real problem that Arjuna was facing is that he was in Maya, or he was put into Maya, and therefore all his conceptions were all wrong. And because all his conceptions were wrong, he was unhappy. And because he was unhappy, he was going to do the wrong thing, namely flee the battlefield. Till Krishna enlightens him, he explains everything, gives him different perspectives on eternity, about how Krishna is God, and the real purpose of life is to serve him, etc., etc. And then by the end, Arjuna wasn't lamenting anymore. He understood that if he fought, and even if he killed his relatives, it would be for their benefit. And they weren't really his relatives in the first place, because they're not their body. It was just a false conception. You can't say that all, what's the popular brand of car here? What's that? BMWs? So you can't say that all BMWs are related to each other. They're part of the same family. No, because they're just material elements put together. And they may come from the same country, but actually we don't really identify themselves as being part of a family of BMWs. So the same way we may have different bodies that may be similar to each other, having seemingly come from each other, but actually it's just temporary bodies. And the real thing is the soul within the body. and all the souls are all different. Simultaneously one in quality, but different. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Actually, Bhagavad Gita is quite simple. Krishna, as it says in the fourth chapter, there are actually only two aspects of knowledge. One is the eternality of the soul, and the other is the soul's relation with Krishna. That's the whole philosophy. Cause is also how the material nature puts the soul into illusion, and how under illusion the soul creates karma under the aspect of time. But those are the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara, Krishna, the jiva, the spirit soul, karma, activities, kala, time, and prakriti, nature. That's all the Bhagavad Gita. So things are actually quite simple, that the material nature means to make something simple quite complicated. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So here Krishna tells Arjuna that he's in Maya.
Well, Krishna is quite polite. He says, while speaking learned words, you're a mourning for what is not worthy of grief. One is the wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So Krishna would tell Arjuna that you're speaking, a learned person doesn't speak like you do. In other words, he's calling Krishna, Arjuna, if you were learned, you wouldn't speak like you're doing. So in other words, indirectly, he's calling him a fool. He's not saying you're a fool. He says, intelligent people don't speak like you. Which means you're a fool. So Arjuna, if you say, Krishna, are you calling me a fool? He said, no. We're just saying intelligent people don't speak like you. In other words, you're a fool. Yes?
So the question is, when can we tell people that they are in Maya?
Why should we tell people in Maya? They won't appreciate that. They won't even know what you're talking about. It sounds like you stepped in some dog thing. What good is it? Have you ever told people you're a Maya?
Devotees.
Yeah. They must have made a lot of friends. It's bad enough we're in Maya, but unless someone says, Prabhu, am I in Maya? You can say yes, I think you might be in Maya. But if you go up to someone, hey Prabhu, do you want me to tell you the truth? You're a Maya. Well, thanks a lot. I thought I was enlightened. I thought I was a pure devotee. Now you've spoiled my day. No, we're practicing devotional service. So if you're taking, Prabhupada used to give the example, if you're taking a shower, you may be dirty, but at least you're in the shower. So in the course of time, you'll get clean. So you don't have to tell devotees they're in Maya. Anyone who's heard a couple classes, they already know that. Question is, how are you going to help them get out of Maya? If someone's in the shower, you go up to them and say, hey, you're dirty. What good is it? They're in the shower. They're trying to get clean. Anything else? Hola, Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Kijai.